Canto 3, Chapter 21, Text Number 7. Tata samadhi uttena kriya yogena kardamaha samprapede harim bhaktya prapanna varadhashusham tatpak samadhi uttena Yayogena Kardamaha Samprapede Harim Bhaktya Papanavaradashu Sham
Then, in that penance, Samadhi Yuktena, in trance. Kriya yogena,
Kriya yogena,
by bhakti yoga worship,
Kardamaha,
the sage Kardama,
Samprapede,
served.
Harim,
the personality of Godhead,
Bhaktya,
in devotional service,
Prapanna,
to the surrendered souls,
Varadashusham,
the bestower of all benedictions. Translation: during that period of penance, the sage Kardama, by worship, through devotional service in trance, propitiated the personality of Godhead, who is the quick bestower of all blessings upon those who flee to him for protection. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. During that period of penance, the sage Kardama, by worship through devotional service in trance, propitiated the personality of Godhead, who is the quick bestower of all blessings upon those who flee to him for protection. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The significance of meditation is described here. Kardava Muni practiced mystic yoga meditation for 10,000 years just to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari. Therefore, one who practices yoga or speculates, and does research to find God, one's efforts must be mixed with the process of devotion. Conversely, without devotion, nothing can be perfect. The target of perfection and realization is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, it is clearly said that one who constantly engages in Krishna consciousness is the topmost yogi. The personality of Godhead, Hari, also fulfills the desires of his surrendered devotee. One has to surrender unto the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead, Hari, or Krishna, in order to achieve real success, devotional service, or engagement in Krishna consciousness is the direct method. And all other methods, although recommended, are indirect. In this age of Kali, the direct method is especially more feasible than indirect, because people are short-lived, their intelligence is poor, and they are poverty-stricken and embarrassed by so many miserable disturbances. Lord Chaitanya, therefore, has given the greatest boon. In this age, one simply has to chant the holy name of God to attain perfection in spiritual life. And so that we don't forget the essence of that, the next paragraph, the words samprapede harim means that in various ways Kardava Muni satisfied the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari by his devotional service. Devotional service is also expressed by the words Kriya Yogena in the second line there. Karnava Muni not only meditated but also engaged in devotional service to attain perfection in yoga practice or meditation. One must act in devotional service by hearing, chanting, remembering, etc. Remembering in is meditation also. But who is to be remembered? Answer: one should remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Not only must one remember the Supreme Person, one must hear about the activities of the Lord and chant His glories. This information is in the authoritative scriptures. After engaging himself for 10,000 years in performing different types of devotional service, Kardama Muni attained the perfection of meditation. But that is not possible in this age of Kali, wherein it is very difficult to live for as much as 100 years. At the present moment, who will be successful in the rigid performance of the many yoga rules and regulations? Another question. Series of questions. Moreover, perfection is attained only by those who are surrendered souls. Where there is no mention of the personality of Godhead, where is there surrender? And when there is no meditation upon the personality of Godhead, where is the yoga practice? Unfortunately, the people, Prabhupada starts bashing. People in this age, especially persons who are of a demoniac nature, want to be cheated. Thus, the Supreme Personality of Godhead sends great cheaters who mislead them in the name of yoga and render their lives useless and doomed. In Bhagavad Gita, therefore, it is clearly stated in the 16th chapter, verse 17, that rascals of self-made authority being puffed up by illegally collected money perform yoga without following the authoritative books. They are very proud of the money they have plundered from the innocent persons who wanted to be cheated. End of purport. Swamiji is heavy. Why is Swamiji so heavy? He is supposed to be sadhu. Sadhu is shanti. Why is Swami so heavy? Ooh. Tatak samadhi yuktena kriya yogena kardamaha samprapede harim bhaktya prapana varadashusham. Well, the indication of surrender is here twice. The indication of devotional service explicitly mentioned is here twice. And the Lord's reciprocation is also indicated by this varada shusham. Da means to give, and varada is one who gives benedictions. And the Supreme Lord is Varadashusham. He's the bestower of all benedictions. And Prabhupada very liberally adds, quickly, he's the bestower of all benedictions. Prapana varadashusham, upon those or unto those who are the surrendered souls, this prapana indicates surrender. Sharana and prapana have very similar meanings. So like sarvadharmam parityajam mam ekam sharanam, surrender. Prapana means very similar. And samprapede, surrender unto his lotus feet, engaging in his devotional service, bhaktya, samprapede harim bhaktya. So although he's, we'll say two different ways, although he's engaged in a process of meditation, he's doing so as an expression of devotion. And we can say the other way. Although one may be engaged in the process of devotion, it's not that we just do some activity and there's no surrender. That something's missing. It's not really what devotion is. The activity is an expression of something, but the something has to be there, the devotion, the surrender, the submission. Extensively we discussed this during the Japa retreat about, those of you that attended, you remember the term nama-ashraya. So ashraya similarly means taking shelter, or he who is the shelter of, so that the name, taking shelter of the holy name, is a stage in chanting, where, which means before that we're chanting, we're doing an activity. But then there's something inside that has to happen. That's the taking shelter. So, like Lord Chaitanya describes in Shikshastakam, glories, 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 but I don't have any attraction, because it's just, because I'm not in that proper mood of trinnadapi sunichena tororri, you know, I want, and I want, and I want, and I am, and I'm important, and I'm not feeling anything. Something's wrong here. I have no attraction for the holy name. I'm too caught up in my program. Trinadapi sunichena. So the humility, and with that humility, submission. Oh, so then we, the mouth, the voice, and submission. Necessity of taking shelter. So now we'll go back to the other. There's this meditation process. Well, the meditation process similarly includes mechanical means of controlling the senses, controlling the mind. But it's incomplete without submission unto the Supreme. Samprapede harim bhaktya prapana. And then what happens? Varada. Benedictions are bestowed from that person whom one is submitting to, surrendering unto. Well, so in the form, Kardama's practice was this mystic yoga process. Breath control, asanas, so on, so on. But the internal is submission unto the Supreme. Propitiation, here's what he says. Karma, the sage karma, by worship, through devotional service, in trance, propitiated the personality of Godhead. Samprapede harim. who is the quick bestower of all benedictions upon those who flee to him for protection. One of the points that Sri Radhika brought up yesterday during the question-answer session was, you know, evening, you know, I don't so much relate to the go back to Godhead, Krishna Loka, Krishna and his pastimes, and I relate to what's more proximate. But the what's more proximate, that the teaching of the spiritual master is Krishna. Oh, I'm supposed to relate to Krishna because that's the instruction. And one who takes that instruction, it may seem far away, but because through the medium of the instruction, it mystically becomes closer. Because that's the purpose. Or minus that instruction, what's the instructor? Is it Prabhupada doesn't have complimentary things to say about that person. Cheater, rascal. So the instruction is Krishna. Take shelter of Krishna. Then there's strength in that instruction. There's within the instruction, there's the everything that one needs to accomplish the instruction. And at least to turn one's attention in that direction and pay attention. And whatever it means to submit, okay, I can submit to the lotus feet of Krishna by submitting to those who are at the lotus feet of Krishna, that's fine. But it's the lotus feet of Krishna. And one who does like that, prapana varada shusham, he bestows all benedictions, all blessings. So what can a spiritual master do in the way of giving blessings if it's not the blessings of Krishna simply being transferred? It's the blessings of Krishna. They're just a medium, hopefully a transparent medium, to give Krishna's mercy. And that's why they're their spiritual master, because they're receiving, just like our prayers in the morning to the spiritual master, receiving benediction. And they're transferring that. Krishna has given power of attorney to his representatives. You can distribute me as you wish. Wow. Okay, here's some Krishna. How much do you want? Not so much. Okay, not so much. The emphasis that Prabhupada is making in the purport, I'm turning around. His emphasis is the yoga practice without devotion is meaningless, and without the object of devotion, the notion of devotion is meaningless. There must be the personality of Godhead in the yoga process, not just mechanics. You know, 15 minutes in the morning and in the evening. So it's devotion. And, you know, not just for a couple of days. It's 10,000 years. Now that's pretty intense. That's something we're not capable of. So we have this, as Prabhupada is describing in the purport, Lord Chaitanya has given this special benediction. We just chant the holy name. Lord Chaitanya therefore has given the greatest boon in this age, one simply has to chant the holy name of God to attain perfection in spiritual life. So my emphasis is, it's not just the mouth moving. I mean, the mouth has to move. It's like not optional. The chanting must be performed. But the submission unto the personality of God, it's submission unto the holy name, calling with, he's using the word propitiation to accept us in his service. That's the meaning of the mantra. So the feeling should be within the call to Krishna. That's taking shelter. But who needs to take shelter if we're comfortable? Hey, I'm okay, you're okay. I'm chanting Hare Krishna. Everything's fine. What's the big deal here? Why submission? Why? This advancing in the process of chanting the holy name to achieve the stage of perfection includes these same elements, although the form of Ashtanga Yoga and the form of Nam Sankirtan is different. And it shows the qualification of Kardama. Again, from the yesterday's verse, why is he doing this? Well, he's been given a service. And his service was, have a lot of children, Kardama. Okay, Dad. Coming right up. He qualified himself, because in order to have qualified children, you have to have qualified consciousness. And for him, because of his elevated stature, qualified consciousness meant trance in full absorption upon the personality of Godhead. And that's what happened. He achieved that state of trance, 10,000 years worth, and the Lord appeared. And the Lord's benedictions came quickly. Prapana varada shusham. Prabhupada makes special mention of this, these two terms. Kriya yogena, mentioned specifically. So, I don't know too much about it, but there's a yoga group that go by the name Kriya Yoga. And the little bit that I understand is it's a postage stamp program, you know. Sure, Kriya Yoga means, yeah, we do bhakti, and we do this, and we do, it's khichdi. Yeah, we do bhakti. But specifically here, it's not, yeah, we do bhakti. It's bhakti. It's ananya, undivided devotion to the personality of Godhead to achieve what's intended. It's not like 36 flavors. It's bhakti. And to verify that, the rest of the verse, sampapede harim bhaktya. So it's within the verse's reading, within his stage of trance, he's doing these things. His attention is fully focused upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and in that trance, he's engaging in devotional service. And one can say, you know, within his mind fixed in trance, he's engaged in devotional service. But that's a form of devotional service. It's like, we're not eligible for that form of devotional service, because what's the question of trance for us? You know, without elaborating on that point. That's what Kardama was doing, devotional service in trance. Doesn't describe the details of what that devotional service is, but Prabhupada does say that remembrance of the Lord is a form of devotional service. Right? There's 9 processes of devotional service, and one of them is Vishnu Smaranam. You know what they are? Shravanam Kirtanam. Very good. So it's a process of devotional service. It's not like, you know, cooking in the kitchen. That's devotional service for Krishna, of course. Cooking in the kitchen for Krishna, that's devotional service. And, like, you know, coming to the temple, that's devotional service. Attending arati and worshipping the deity, that's devotional service. Remembering Krishna is devotional service. Prahlad Maharaj achieved perfection through constant remembrance of Krishna. Perfection. And specifically here, as mentioned as well, remembrance of Krishna is also a form of devotional service. I can't find the sentence, but Prabhupada says it specifically. So, remembering in meditation is also devotional service. But, there's always a but, who is to be remembered? Oh, now I remember, I'm supposed to remember Krishna. Not all the things that I'm supposed to do for Krishna only, but Krishna. Krishna. And in that, there's a surrendering process. Surrendering has a twofold meaning. It's acceptance of the shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. It means also letting go of other shelters. Oh, I have to let go of other shelters. Oh. I want to hold on to some of them. And so, then it's, you know, little. And that's okay. A little is good. And then remain steady in that little and then see how you can surrender some more. But that also means letting go of some other stuff. I'll conclude with just repeating Prabhupada's it's protection. When Prabhupada would get so strong, why is Swamiji speaking like that? It's protection for the surrendered devotee, so they can be very clear. Don't play with fire. Don't be naive and innocent about the cheating propensity that certain cheaters have. And while we may not go, you know, up to this yoga teacher and that yoga teacher and say some of the things that are here in this last paragraph, we should understand that's what's going on. And gee, we would like those persons that are being cheated to have the real thing. But part of the reason that they're being cheated is they want to be cheated. Meaning, if you offer them the real thing, it's no. I like being cheated. That is, I don't want to surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I don't want that. I want to be relaxed and peaceful and all those things that are never going to happen if you don't surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ultimately, something very unstable that's a reflection of the real thing may be achieved. But you're being cheated, and a person's cheating. So, again, using a little discretion, our business is not just to bash those people, but to invite Krishna bhakti by good example. Attract by honey rather than chasing away by vinegar. But But at the same time, it's right in his book, so we should understand clearly what's going on. So we don't become susceptible to that. Program, cheating program. It's the personality of Godhead. This impersonalism is very rampant. And it's not just, you know, some remote place in South India. It's all over the world. All over the world. It permeates everything. And it's not getting weaker. So the shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam is good medicine. Any comments or questions?
Pretty much, maybe three things. One is, it seems really interesting that Prabhupada writes quickly, and in the previous verse it's 10,000 years.
And after 10,000 years, the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared. But it's not like until the bell rang at 10,000 years, he's like in this abyss of nothingness or something. The reciprocation of the Lord was at once. As with us, you know, we're in this like little babykin's stage, and there's reciprocation. And that perfection was, he saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. It's like this other verse where it's described that the rays of the sun dissipate fog at once, which happens. And so similarly, devotional service, even in the avas form, is so powerful and strong that it at once takes away up to the root the tendency for sinful activity, provided we continue in the process of devotional service. It's happening at once, as opposed to this idea that, you know, somehow something happens at the end of life, and then you're freed, and until then you're on the rock pile bashing rocks. It happens at once. So the reciprocation with the Lord in devotion, because he's engaging in devotional service, the reciprocation is happening at once. He's connected to the internal potency by the devotional service that he's engaged in at once. What else? Anything else?
Yes. I was thinking about this I'm okay, you're okay mood, and it's very strong.
For yeah.
Me personally, I find shelter in the, at least at times, recognizing disqualifications or the terrible circumstance that I'm in. I'm wondering if you could share some words on how to strengthen that, because I'm recognizing more and more how, you know, few and far between those contemplations of reality are.
It's self-delusion. You know, it makes a fool feel comfortable. And part of the problem that I experience is relationships. So you're okay too. Live and let live. I'm in Maya, you're in Maya. I'm okay, you're okay. Your variety of Maya is different than mine. My variety is different than yours. Let's just peacefully coexist. I'm okay, you're okay. Complacency. Because I start to feel uncomfortable if I think, wow, it's not okay. What do I do? I'm uncomfortable. I'm okay. You know, Prabhupada would describe, you go see a person who's lying in a hospital bed with tubes in their body, and you say, how are you doing? I'm okay. A little pain over here. I'm okay. Oh, that's good. But, you know, not just in the hospital, you know, we're in a prison. You ask the prisoner, how you doing? I'm okay. In prison. So we're not recognizing our material circumstances. It's not just precarious, it's so foreign to the living entity because we're so distant from our real identity, our natural position. We're so accustomed to a diseased condition. You know, it's hard to accept the reality. I'm okay. You're okay. You know, there are times that we're realizing I'm not okay. And partly I remember hearing Srila Prabhupada say this on more than one occasion, that one of the principal duties of the spiritual master is to educate the disciple about the foolish and embarrassing position they're in, being in the material state of consciousness. I mean, in some ways it's obvious, but that Prabhupada extended like ample instruction in that regard, and even receiving it, you know, the complacency tendency is very strong because we want to enjoy, and that's, you know, like, this is my circumstance, so I'm okay. We're covered by illusion. So if there's some mercy that's extended by super soul prompting us from within, or by scriptures or teachers or things, then we can realize that's not so. I need to make some change. I need to move from this position. Maya keeps us enough uncomfortable that we're, you know, we're out of contact with the spiritual, but enough deluded that we think we're fine. We just need to make a few adjustments, that's all. Yes.
Maharaj, I have a question. Please correct me if I am incorrect. According to my recollection, in the past, Srila Prabhupada on several occasions has blasted Maya bodies on, like, lectures or interviews, and the purpose of being educated on Srimad Bhagavatam and the scriptures is to be able to defend the philosophy. But at the same time, we ourselves have to be very careful to be aware of our association and be wary of not getting involved with Maya bodies or being engulfed in that type of association.
Sure.
Because we can be weakened by that. Is that correct?
Yeah, well, several things. One is that Prabhupada said, you cannot say as I am saying. I'm an older man. I can get away with it, basically. And if you do the same thing, you can't get away with it. Nor, then in others, we don't have the stature to simply say, as Prabhupada said, and persons will accept it. Prabhupada was very heavy on a number of occasions, with even people that came to see him, professors and politicians and people. He knew, because he's in touch with Super Soul, what to say, how to say it, you know, when and where and in what manner. You know, we don't have that link with Super Soul, so we have to be circumspect. So we shouldn't be wishy-washy. We should be have internal conviction, and how we act, that means we should be protected, and how we act in relation to others. On occasions, Prabhupada would say, you know, defeat these rascals. But on other occasions it was, you can't speak as I'm speaking. So we have to be thoughtful how we address those who we're interacting with. And this is a whole question that, for example, I had the great pleasure of being part of a Bhaktivedanta Institute rift, or like, you know, kind of mediating a rift between the softies and the hardies. You know, and persons would say, I'm not going to name names, but some from this group would say, you know, Prabhupada was confrontational. And the other group would say, we have to build, you know, some rapport and relation with these people, and then we can say some of these things and help them move from that position, because otherwise you're just going to, like, you know, divide. And the other group would say, yeah, divide, because, you know, that's showing the strength of our preaching. And, you know, it's this classic between the conservatives and the liberals, or the, you know, the pakoras and the pizzas. You know that one. And, you know, somewhere in between, or some, you know, so the fine discretion of how do you successfully present Krishna consciousness, effectively and successfully present Krishna consciousness, so that devotees are protected and the those who are deluded can see the light. Anyway, there are different approaches. And it hurts the cause if persons unqualified go around bashing those that are capable of actually moving somebody. It inhibits their capacity to do that, because somebody before them, inept somebody, came and did some bashing, and just, like, you know, ended up with pie in their face. So it's, you have to be careful. Yes.
Today's message is, I'm trying to understand, like, if there is wrong, please correct me.
If there is, okay, go ahead.
So, what are the activities, like devotional activities, any process we do, like anyone out of this nine? So, everything has to be done by surrendering to Krishna inside our heart, like, you know.
Correct.
Anyone. So
correct. Yes.
Anything,
yes.
So everything has to be done.
That's the goal. In steps, as we have the capacity to do so, that's the goal, yes.
So the same applies to the material activities also, whatever we do.
There's no material activities when you're surrendering to Krishna.
Like other activities which we do?
Yeah, like whatever it might be. Provided it's not sinful or prohibited, it becomes spiritualized by the process of bhakti. That's exactly what the point is in the purport. I mean, sitting, you know, in a certain that's material too. The external parts of the Ashtanga Yoga, that's not spiritual. It's the devotion to Krishna, submission to Krishna, that puts the one in front of the zero. So your household activities are whatever that might be, you might call it material. Put the one in front, and then it's not a zero. Clear? Okay. Aren't you?
Maharaj, I was just trying to understand, like, what should be the mood of our surrender? Because I noticed that whatever degree I've tried to be, it's more over because of my frustration. It's not like that I wanted to believe Krishna. It's more over I don't want to be here.
I want relief of this material program here. Yeah. So that's a beginning. I remember reading very clearly about this and Srila Prabhupada expressing that in the beginning, Lord Chaitanya prays, Mama Janmani Jamani Shari Bhavatad Bhakti Rahai Tiki Twi, birth after birth. Prabhupada explained that in the beginning, it's good to want to go back to Godhead. And even if the wanting to go back to Godhead is, you know, I don't like it here. I want to go there. Then, good. And as one advances further, that, you know, Krishna, you can have me here or there. It doesn't matter. Provided I'm in your, conscious of you and in your service. You're engaging me in your service anywhere you want. At our stage, wanting to go back to Godhead. Now your point is, it's not just because it's back to Godhead, it's just because this place is so uncomfortable. So, you know, that's a, there's stages of maturing in Krishna consciousness. And that's a stage that we need to gradually, I'm emphasizing, gradually cross over. Trying to think of some good example where we may be, in a worldly sense, doing something because the consequences of not doing this something, I don't like the consequences. You know, like a child being obedient because, you know, they're getting, you know, have a very, very difficult time, so I'll be obedient just because I don't want to have this difficult time. But it's a more mature stage when something is done out of love. So if love isn't developed yet, you know, staying out of troubled circumstances just because it's like horrific in that troubled circumstance. That's a beginning. That's fine. But know that there's a more mature stage. And don't beat yourself up because I'm not at that more mature stage, or feel guilty, oh, I'm not a very good devotee because my motivations are way down here. That's okay, it's a stage. And as the creeper of bhakti grows, it grows. Other things become more important just by growth, by maturing. Well, a pure devotee may also do the same thing, and a not pure devotee may also do the same thing. So it's not the action itself that is a measure of your Krishna consciousness or the absence of your Krishna consciousness. It's, you know, we're supposed to, like Prabhupada would use the phrase, do the needful. Huh? So we're calling upon our intelligence to, you know, what's needful. Like, you know, rather than giving the detailed micro instruction of how to do something, utilize your intelligence. Krishna's given you intelligence. Utilize it. So what's important is the consciousness behind that careful contemplation. Is it, you know, then start a menu. Is it manipulative? Is it just like self-preservation? Is it coming out of caring? Is it, am I thinking of pleasing Krishna while this contemplation is going on? So check yourself that way. And you'll find, you know, there's some degree of thinking of Krishna, there's some degree of just like, you know, material tendencies at play. I'm a caring person, so I do care. I don't want to make the situation worse. That's motive goodness, but it's not Krishna conscious. And Krishna conscious is, ultimately, the whole situation is dependent upon Krishna's mercy, so I'm seeking ultimately Krishna's mercy. So I'm using this faculty that Krishna has given me in his service and appealing to Krishna for the proper intelligence how to do this so that he is pleased and I don't make the situation worse. That's the thing that we want to look for. And you give attention to the pleasing Krishna component and it'll grow. The bhakti creeper, it'll grow. We're about to greet the deities. Let's end the class. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.